Today, and you know, as a former coach, you tell your players you're just one play from being in the ball game. If you're not starting, you know, one play, one injury, and you're in there, Seth. And apparently, there's been about five injuries because they've called me today. So we're kind of scraping the bottom of the barrel, but maybe we'll get by together. If you have your Bibles, turn to Isaiah 48, verse 9 through 11. Isaiah 48, verse 9 through 11. Our text will come from there this morning. While you're turning there to Isaiah 48, verse 9 through 11, I have to tell you, I've had a pretty rough week or two. I know none of you ever have bad days or rough weeks, but the last couple weeks have been kind of rough around my house, just for different things. And anybody ever have anything going on that just kind of wears you out, both emotionally and physically? You're physically worn out, but emotionally you're just worn out. We've kind of had that going on the last couple weeks. You know, and as I got this week going on, I'm just trying to get to spring break. You know, things seem to be coming out of the woodwork, coming at me from every possible angle. You know, dealing with everything from, you know, sick kids to juggling ball games around because of the weather, rescheduling a board meeting, and things of that nature. And I got to admit, you know, things just seem to be not going my way. I'd kind of start throwing myself a little bit of a pity party. I start feeling sorry for myself. You ever do that? Well, I'd get to doing that, and you know, then the Lord just kind of tell you, you know, praise me in the midst of it all. You know, and I got to be honest, when the world is coming down on me, I don't really feel like praising. Okay, it's kind of hard for me to have the right attitude to praise. My mind's not set. Right. You know, as my daddy says, you want to's not right. You know, and I just got to the point where, you know, nothing in me would allow me to praise, but, you know, I guess I just get too worldly in that aspect. You know, so I say all that to say this, what I'm talking on today probably ain't aimed at you, it's more at me, to be honest. Well, maybe you'll get something out of it. Isaiah 48, verse 9 through 11, the King James Version says, "For my name's sake will I defer mine anger, and for my praise will I refrain for thee, that I cut thee not off. Behold, I have refined thee, but not with silver. I have chosen thee in the furnace of affliction. For mine own sake, even for mine own sake, will I do it. For how should my name be polluted? And I will not give my glory unto another." Now, I think you all agree that the normal response for us as human beings is to avoid pain. You know, this can be both physical and emotional. You know, our natural response is to move away from pain. If we were to drop something on our foot, the first thing we would do is jerk our foot back. If you were to touch a hot grease or stove, the first thing you would do is jerk that hand back. If you were to get a paper cut while you're flipping through your bulletin, the first thing you would do is jerk back from that pain. For you outdoorsmen, Seth, if you're fishing, you ever catch a hook in your finger? First thing you do is get that thing out of there, right? So we want to get back away from that pain. With all that being said, I want us to realize that pain is not our enemy. Now, before you say, "Glenn, you've lost your mind here," I want us to know that although pain hurts and we don't want any part of it, pain has a purpose. When I say pain is not our enemy, I'm saying that from the scientific standpoint, pain is a built-in mechanism in our bodies, or a warning system in our body that lets us know that something is changing. It's an indicator that as we are encroaching on something, we feel that pain, we need to change something or we could have permanent damage. So God knew what He was doing when He placed the pain mechanisms in our life. You know, we should be thankful for these mechanisms. So, you know, because if not, you know, we could cut ourselves and not know we even cut ourselves. You know, diabetics have this problem with their feet. You know, their nerves don't really respond the way they used to. I for one am starting to feel that issue a little bit. Pain serves the purpose. It has a purpose. Okay? And even though we seek to avoid pain, we've got to know that it does have a purpose. Now, I know that we don't like pain, and we have some people that like the attention that they get as a result of their pain. Okay? This is a little bit different, isn't it? This can be either physical or emotional. I know when I had back surgery a couple years ago, I've got to admit that was painful, but as I had that back surgery, there was things I could not do at that moment right after back surgery. You know, and Miss Carla, she would really take care of me. If I needed something to drink, she would come bring me something to drink. If I needed something to eat, she would come bring me something to eat. So I enjoyed what I got out of my pain at that point. Okay, but I have to admit, you know, as I enjoyed that, you know, there are an emotional side of pain, and some people like the reaction they get as a result of that pain. They like how people come to their rescue or come to their aid. They use it as a way to draw others into their drama. Now, I want you to understand that pain allows us to ask questions. All right. Pain gets us to asking the question, why? Why am I in pain? What is causing this pain? Now, I know I may not be talking to just everybody in here, but hopefully some of you know what I'm talking about. Some of you may have been put in the fiery furnace of affliction like I have in my life. But, you know, some of you may not have had those bad days, but you know, sometimes you wake up and have those bad days that start when you wake up and the storm comes through the night before and the alarm clock gets knocked off. So you're 30 minutes later waking up. So you're trying to get up and hit the shower running. You get to the shower and realize the hot water heater is out. So you have to suffer through the hot water, through the cold shower. And then you get out of the shower and you go to throw your clothes on and realize there's more wrinkles in there than you've ever seen in your life. So you have to iron your clothes real quick, and that takes time. You plug the iron up to get hot, so you think you're going to make up some time by go ahead and eating your breakfast while you're waiting on the iron, and you pour your bowl of Fruity Pebbles, and you go to the refrigerator and you're out of milk. You know, it's just one of those days that it's going, but you finally get everything and you get out the door and you get in the vehicle and you sit down in the vehicle and you go to crank it up and realize you left your keys on the counter. So you got to get out and then you get up to the door and the door is locked. Okay? I mean, this is just starting out bad. You finally fumble around and find a spare key and get your keys and crank up your car and get on the way, only to realize before you get out the driveway, the gas light has come on. You get to the gas station and only one gas pump is working. I know none of you have ever had that happen. Only one gas pump is working and there's four cars in line for gas. You get to the gas pump finally and you stick your card in and it says, "See the attendant inside." You know, so you go in there, and then the attendant, of course, is not really paying attention to you and could tell that you're in a hurry. She's talking to her best friend over there behind the counter about her weekend plans. Now, you can say that is the start of a bad day. Okay? But you may have seen people that have had this happen, or it's happened to you, and you see others that it's happened to you, but you don't respond the same. You may react different than what somebody else did when they experienced the same thing. You know, you got to realize that sometimes God leads us into the furnace. We have to realize that sometimes God puts us in a situation that causes us pain. Sometimes we may be doing everything we know how to do correctly, but for whatever reason, things happen. You ever hear the saying, bad things happen to good people? See, we get upset sometimes because we're doing everything we know how to do correctly, and yet we keep experiencing pain. Yet God still has led us into that fiery furnace. You seem to be put into the pickle of your life and you don't know how you're going to get out of it. You start to evaluate yourself and see where you went wrong. You start to look at things and see what you have done. You think someone is playing a trick on you, Seth. You think somebody's done flipped the script on you. You think this can't really be happening to you. But I'm telling you that God put you in the fiery furnace of affliction for a reason. And that reason is to cause you a pain that will make a change in your life. Okay. The problem we seem to have is that we tend to be what's called going good Christians or going good people. You see, those people are those going good people, pardon me, are the Christians or the people that have no problem praising God when everything in their life is moving in the positive direction. Everything is going good. They don't have a problem giving God the glory when the tax return hits the bank account. They don't have a problem praising God when they go 4-for-4 in the baseball game with 3 home runs and 7 RBIs. They don't have a problem giving praise when they get a raise at work. They don't have a problem giving praise when they close the big $1 million deal. I'm telling you, although that all those praises are good and great, we can sing those praises and they're wonderful. But we're singing those praises on the mountaintop of life at that point. See, God wants to know what kind of praise can we give when we're in the valleys? What kind of praise can we give when the tax man says you owe $7,000? What kind of praise can you give when you don't even get to start in the baseball game? What kind of praise can you give when you finally get in the baseball game and you go 0-for-2 with the bases loaded and you end up losing the ball game? What kind of praise can we give when the $1 million deal falls through? What kind of praise can we give when instead of getting the raise you thought you were going to get, instead they're downsizing and you get the pink slip? Do we have any praise during those times? Look back at verse 9. It says, I will defer mine anger. The word defer means delay. It says, I will delay my anger. One translation says the word patient. Now, here Israel's children are in trouble. Okay, they're in the fiery furnace of affliction. Now that they are in the furnace of affliction, God's decided to be patient. Okay, you need to realize, you ever wonder when we get put in that fire, why all of a sudden God sits back and just becomes oh so patient? You see, what's a rough spot for us, or seems like an emergency for us, is not necessarily a rough spot for Him. And that's when we become impatient. And see, when we become impatient, that's when God says, oh no, I am patient. God lets us know that He is going to be patient. He tells us, I'm going to be patient until the fire does in you what I put you in it to do. You see, all of us have seen jewelry makers or seen Gold Rush on TV. They use what's called a refiner's fire. Okay, when they make a gold necklace or silver necklace or whatever, they put the block of gold or silver into a refiner's fire. Now, this is a fire that is thousands of degrees, okay? This is a hot, hot fire. This isn't a fire that you can build in the backyard with the leaves pile or the barbecue pit. Now, this is a fire that serves a purpose, and the purpose is to melt down the silver or gold and take so you can take away the impurities of it. Look back at verse 10. He tells them, I have refined thee, but not with silver. Now this kind of threw me for a loop. I thought there was a misprint because it seemed like it should have read, refined thee as silver. And some translations have it that way, I believe. But not the King James Version. It says, refine thee, but let's see what to say, but not with silver. What God's saying there is, I'm not going to refine you with blessing. Okay, you see, when God refines us with blessing, it doesn't have the same impact on us. Take, for example, my boys and I, I get to take them to school every day. And sometimes in the mornings, we tend to find ourselves at a store to get a biscuit. All right? And as we do that, say we do it on Tuesday, we do that, and I can tell you on Wednesday, Luke's coming to me, hey, Daddy, can we go get another biscuit? And if we do it again, he does it the next day. And what I'm saying is, they're not spending their money to buy themselves a biscuit. All right? They're spending Daddy's money. But what if I got up there to the counter as we get into the store and I get up there to the counter and put our biscuits down there and I turn to them and say, okay, boys, where's your money? You see, I believe that would put a halt to the asking to stop for a biscuit because it... if they had to spend their money, it'd mean a little something more to them, wouldn't it? Now, back to what I was saying. You see, sometimes stuff doesn't come off of you without a little heat. You see, God is changing us through the pain or through that furnace of affliction. That's how we grow as Christians. You see, he tells them, I'm going to put you in the fire, and to the fire does the work on the inside of your life that I designed it to do. That's when we find ourselves in those valleys of life. Or we're sitting smack dab in the fiery furnace. We start searching for answers. We start looking for help. We try to find us a lifeline. We become real spiritual then, don't we? We start reading the Bible at 3 in the morning like we're a speed reader. We start praying to God just to unleash this burden. We start trying to make a deal with God. Lord, if you'll just take this off of me, I'll promise I'll do this, or I'll promise I'll do that. It's funny, isn't it? We also find ourselves trying to push God to hurry up and get us out of that fire. We seem to start leaning for God. We start, Lord, you know, I just want to be in your will. I don't want to go to the left or the right. But since we're talking, do you want me to go this way? Or do you want me to go that way? What we're initially saying to God is, Lord, it's too hot. I can't take it. Where's the exit? Get me out of it. When we are in that fire, we listen to anybody or tell anybody what is going on to try to get some help, don't we? We put it on Facebook. We'll try anything to get somebody to listen that if it'll get us some relief. You know, I mean, we'll listen to anybody and anything. I'll give you another example. I go to a lot of meetings all over the state, mostly in Jackson, sometimes Meridian and everything, but I don't always know exactly where I'm going. Now, I don't have what some of you may have in your vehicles, that navigational system, okay, that that beautiful Yukon out there with 327,000 miles on it doesn't have that. So I have to use my phone. I have that Maps app. Okay, and I get to talk to Siri. Now, all of y'all know Siri. And, I'll type it in where I'm going, and Siri will say, in 2 miles, turn left. In 500 feet, veer to the right. Now, I have never met Siri before in my life. I don't know who Siri is personally, but I'm listening to her tell me to go on a road I've never been on, in a city I've never been to find a building I've never seen before. Now, if I can listen to Siri, the voice of a computer, tell us where to go, surely I can listen to the Lord God that created the heavens and the earth. Now, let me get back on track. I'm sorry, I chased a rabbit there. Now, God wants the fire to refine us. However, during that refining process, we tend to get lost, or we try to do things our way when the heat gets turned up. You see, God is patient, and He says, no, I want you to be still and know that I am God. That is when there is a refining in the refining process, with a D. Refining. That's when we refined the praise that we lost. That's when we refined the attitude of gratitude that we need. Sometimes, though, we have a hard time finding what we're supposed to find, or we tend to move away from God during that time. And that's an issue. You see, it's not always what we do when we come out of the fire. It's about what we do while we are in the fire. The fire will help bring an authenticity to our praise. You see, the furnace is not so much a punishment in this aspect as it is designed to bring an authenticity to your faith. What I mean is it allows our praise to be attached to external things. It's designed not to do that. If your praise can be lost over a flat tire, or a blown engine, or a burnt casserole, or a lost wallet, then that tells us that our praise was attached to what was going on externally, our circumstance. So the fire that burns in the furnace of affliction is there to help show that our praise is not attached to anything but God. If we're sincere in our praise when the tire blows out or the motor blows up, then our praise is going from a convenient praise to a praise of sacrifice. You see, if you can praise Him in the middle of adversity when all your world is crashing down, then you have that type of praise that is real and pleasing to God. You see, going back to earlier, when I talked about the going good people, we know it's easy to have a praise or a song in your heart when things are going good. You may have heard the old saying, now we gonna see. You ever heard anybody say, now we gonna see? My daddy used to say that. We'd be watching a ball game or something, and a player that was supposed to be really good makes all these wonderful plays, but then a call doesn't go his way or something bad happens and adversity showed up, and he'd say, now we're going to see. And that meant, now we're going to see what type of player that guy really is. Is he as good as advertised, or is he just good when things are going his way? We as Christians get in the same way. As a wise man we all knew used to say here at this church, make your walk match your talk. You see, when adversity shows up, now we're going to see what we're made of. When we are put in the fire of affliction, we're going to see how God is going to change us. When we're put in that fire of affliction, we generally find out that God has us in there for us to put the fire out from the inside. Now, as y'all know, we've had it kind of rough last couple of weeks. Been in and out of a lot of doctor's offices with Kate and heck with me too. And you know, when you sit in doctor's offices, there's some waiting time. Okay, and generally, when we're sitting around waiting, I tend to pull my phone out and scroll through Twitter and various news outlets and catch up on different current events and things of that nature, and came across a story of a computer store in South Bend, Indiana. And this computer store, it was enormous. I mean, it's a big warehouse type computer store, very large, and lots of expensive computer electronics devices were in it. Well, it caught on fire. And as you can imagine, this ended with the size of it. It was a very big, huge, enormous fire. And so the South Bend Fire Department responded, and they brought all their trucks. They had like 9 or 10 trucks, because South Bend, Indiana is pretty big. They had all their trucks, and they surrounded, brought all their ladder trucks, all their water trucks, and they're all surrounding this building, and they're all fighting like everything to put this fire out. And as they're fighting this fire, they realize they're not making a whole lot of headway. So as fire departments do, when they're not making a whole lot of headway, they call for backup. Well, they called for backup, and a group from a nearby suburb or small community, kind of like French Camp or where, the name of it was Elkhart. Now, the chief got the call and radioed back to dispatch that they were on their way and they're en route and coming to this enormous fire at that computer store. Now, when the Elkhart Fire Department got there, to everybody's surprise, they came bursting through the wall of the building at the computer store. They didn't stop. They went right on through, went into the wall and busted out. And as they got in there, they all jumped out and started putting that fire out from the inside. You hear me? They started putting the fire out from the inside. Okay, because they got in there and, you know, once you're in there like that, they said, we may as well put it out. Well, this flipped things how it was going. This allowed the other crews that were fighting from the outside to start getting control of this fire. And they were able to save what was going to be an extremely bad situation or total loss, made it a positive outcome. It saved the building. It saved the business for the owner. Now, the owner was really excited, you know, as he should be. He say, you know, they saved his business. And, Elkhart was a small community that had a small fire department, but the owner was so excited that he saved his business that he gave the Elkhart Fire Department a $10,000 donation. Now, as you know, small towns go, anytime something like that happens to a entity like the fire department, they have a press conference. And they had the press conference and they had the news there and everything. And they asked the fire chief, what are you going to do with the money? And of course, the chief said, well, the first thing we're going to do is get the brakes fixed on that fire truck. You see, you missed something, because they weren't planning on going all the way into the fire, but when they got there, they realized, we're going to put this thing out from inside. We've got to extinguish it from the inside. So you're saying, what are you saying? I'm saying that there's stuff that you have to extinguish from the inside, because the thing that's causing you pain can't be fixed from the outside. Sometimes the thing that's wearing you out and keeping you up at night can't be fixed by anybody talking to you. It has to be fixed from the inside. Sometimes God picks us up and puts us slap dab in the middle of the fiery furnace and says, I'm not taking you out of this thing until you can put this bad boy out from the inside. And the way you do that is with your prayer. You have to understand, when God places you in the fire of affliction, He's wanting you to change for a reason. He has something he wants you to be or to do that is far beyond what you've been used to doing. So when you are in that fire, as hot as it gets, you need to remember God is changing you for whatever His purpose is in your life. So be receptive to it. Don't go off the deep end and lose your mind. Whatever you do, when God looks into that fire to check on you, let Him find you with a praise on your lips. Let Him find you seeking to grow in Him. Let Him find you with a thirsting for the water that only He can provide to put that fire out. You see, the fire doesn't give you character. The fire reveals your character. The fire helps us to find out if our walk will match our talk. The fire shows us what we will do in the middle of adversity. Now, you know, I'm an old coach. And as old coaches, or as coaches do, we like to play with words a little bit. You know, let's look at adversity, or adverse. Prefix is ad, which means to increase. Verse, as part of a song, Amy. So what I begin to think about is that God is taking my song and adding to it. He is taking my praise and He is constantly adding verses. In the middle of everything I'm going through, He is adding to my song or my praise. That's what we need to realize also, is that while we are in that fire, God is adding to our song so that we can help witness to others. Because you all know the first thing people do when they know somebody's going through this or that is they check Facebook to see what's going on. So people are always looking at other people and seeing how they are reacting to this or that. So when we are in the fire and God is in us, then our actions in the fire become our witness, and that can begin to stir up the spirit of the unbeliever. Or it can strengthen the spirit of a young Christian. Then they see and want to have that kind of confidence. They say, I want that kind of strength. I want that kind of healing. I want that kind of joy. I want that kind of praise. I'll give you another example. Paul and Silas, when they were in prison, everybody remember that story? They were in prison. They were bound and chained together. Okay, that's how they did things back then in prison. And I want to give you a visual. Come here, you two boys. Come here. I'm sorry I didn't tell you about this earlier. See, they were back, come here, stand side by side. Y'all are Paul and Silas, all right? And put your hand as if y'all are chained together. You're the chain, okay? Grab his wrist right there. All right. They were chained together, all right? And you see, one couldn't scratch his nose or his ear without the other one's help. You understand? But the Bible tells us as they were in prison, they made up their minds to praise God, didn't they? And it said, so as one, let's say Seth here, decides he wants to praise, what's that going to do? Raise your hands like you're praising God. What's that cause Cody to do? It does. So what in turn happens is if one started praising, the other one said, if this fool's going to do this, I may as well do it too, right? So he started praising too. And before you knew it, the whole prison was probably praising. And the Bible records that as they were singing and praising, there was an earthquake. Which means if you can unlock your praise inside and others see that, then you can help unlock others' praise. It gets contagious, doesn't it? Thanks, guys. It's like that song we've all heard. I think it's J.J. Weeks' band, Let Them See You and Me. Now, as a wrap up, I know now everybody can wake up now. I want you to realize that we all go through things and we have bad days. You know, and as I've told our teachers, after I heard Larry Bell speak one time, I told our teachers, on your worst day, you're our students' best hope. Now think about that. The same is true for us as parents. We don't stop providing for our kids because we're having a bad day. Even on our worst day, we're still our kids' best hope. Now think about Jesus. He had a bad day. Think about the day he hung on the cross. That was a bad day. He was falsely accused. He was arrested. He was sentenced to death. He was beaten unmercifully, made fun of, spit on, and anything else you can imagine. Then he was nailed to a cross. Big nails or spikes were driven into his hands and his feet. A spear pierced his side as if everything else wasn't bad enough. But realize this, as he hung on that cross and was experiencing his worst day, he was giving us our best hope. He was giving us the opportunity for eternal life. He was paying our debt for sin and giving us a way to live forever in paradise with Him. Let us pray. Father God, we know that You are the ultimate firefighter. Lord, we know that You place us in the fiery furnace of affliction to help us grow and to change us into something that is glorifying to You. Lord, we ask not that, although we may not understand why we're in the fire, Lord, we just ask that we can praise You while we're in it. Lord, we just ask for, if we have anything we need to respond to here, just give us the courage to do that. And Lord, as every head is bowed and every eye closed, if Brother Butch, if he can come up front here. If you have a decision that needs to be made today, Brother Butch will be down here. If you want to turn your life over to Jesus today, when Amy plays, you can do that. And as you know, if you've turned your life over to Jesus and you want to be baptized, you can come down here and Brother Butch will get your information and talk to Brother Alex and set that up. Also, if you're searching for a church home, you can come down here and talk with Brother Butch about that as well. Now, Amy's going to play, and if any decision needs to be made, please do that as every head is bowed and every eye is closed.